As we heard yesterday, Krishna had been told by Nanda Maharaj that under all circumstances he must follow the orders of Devaki and Vasudeva. But when Krishna, the prince of Dwaraka, asked through Balaram if he could go to Vrindavan, Devaki and Vasudeva sadly said, "No, you cannot go." Because they knew that Krishna is subdued by the love of his devotees, and they also knew that amongst all of Krishna's devotees, the gopis were the highest in terms of love. And Krishna would not be able to leave the gopis again once he had visited them. Perhaps Vasudeva and Devaki had heard about an earlier pastime of Krishna where the Lord explains how he is subdued by the love of his devotees. It was after Krishna had pulled down these huge twin Arjuna trees. They were really huge trees. Trees like you find it, believe me, said, in the national park of Croatia are small in size in comparison to these Arjuna trees. In Mauritius, these trees are planted in order to keep the earth on the island so that when floods come or storms, the earth is hold by the roots of these powerful trees and is not going into the ocean. They actually are responsible for the growth of the Mauritius Island. They are very powerful trees. So Krishna had effortlessly pulled this mortar in between these trees and had pulled them down, and then they came crashing down and the earth shook. Two fallen devatas, Lakuvera and Manigriva, had come out of the crashed trees that circumambulated Krishna, paid their most humble obeisances, and then prayed for devotional service. And these were cursed devatas. They had done something indecent. They had drunken wine, and while they drank wine, they had entered a river with girls, and they had enjoyed sexual pleasures with them. This would have been the subject matter of a indecent movie in modern Kali Yuga times. They had done this. And not only that, when a saint came by, Narada Muni, they had disregarded him and continued with their frivolous activity. So Narada Muni had cursed them to become these twin Arjuna trees who were standing in the court of Nanda Baba, and Krishna had delivered them by pulling them down and then granting them liberation. So after all this had been done, Krishna himself remained bound. The rope was around his belly, and he stood helplessly before the mortar. He was helpless because he thought, "I can break the bonds of everyone. There's not one living entity whom I cannot release from the chains of his karma. But I myself remain bound. I cannot, I will not, and I shall not ever
in the future break the rope of love which my devotees have bound around me.
Look at me, I have this rope around the belly.
It was tied by Yashoda. And because Yashoda did this out of pure love for me, I, who can break any bound, will not be able to break this. I just can't, I will not, I shall not. I will remain subdued by the love of the devotees. So Vasudeva and Nanda, Vasudeva and Devaki, most probably had thought about this. They had thought, what if the gopis bind Krishna by the rope of love? He will never ever be able to leave Vrindavan, return to Dwaraka. What to do? I want to be with the gopis. I want to repay them. I want at least to try to give my repayment for everything they have done for me. Now I am not allowed to go in Nanda Baba has told me I should not break the sacred order of Devaki and Vasudeva. So he did something which most probably all of you have done at one time or another. When you cannot go personally to someone whom you love, you will scribble a few sentences on a piece of paper and then give your message to the loved one through a messenger. So Krishna had asked Balaram to be his messenger, something which is against the codex of religion. You can never ever ask a superior person to take service, to give him the service which you want him to do it. Because Balaram is Dauji, the elder brother. Krishna, by the codexes of ordinary social dealings, could not have asked him to become his mailman, his messenger. But he did it anyways. So today, I will enter with you into the most delightful subject matter of Balaram giving the message of Krishna to the gopis and what happened there. After Balaram had met everyone, the cowherd men, Nanda Baba and Yashoda, his sakas of friends, he allowed 3 days to pass because he really didn't know how he could confront the gopis who loved Krishna so much. After 3 days of waiting anxiously, Balaram decided, this evening I will meet the gopis and I will see their condition, but I don't know how I will fare in seeing these most beloved of Krishna. So on the third night, meeting was called. And when the gopis, the beautiful gopis, arrived, Balaram noted something astonishing. When the gopis saw Balaram, they broke out in uncontrollable laughter. Balaram was absolutely shocked. The gopis, the beloved of his younger brother Krishna, had all this been extremely shy before him. They always had drawn their veils. You must have seen how the Brijbasi ladies do when the man comes by. the veil goes down, you can see nothing of their faces. Then after some time they go and they see half of the eye sees, looks at you. They were always so absolutely shy. They always covered their heads before superiors, especially for Baladev. Why were they laughing uncontrollably? It was out of pain. Their pain for being separated from Krishna had turned to such a degree that it turned into the opposite. We hear from our acharyas who give us an explanation why the gopis laughed, that they laughed out of anubhava, which is a very high exalted relationship of love to Krishna, a relationship which makes the beloved always appear in new ways, and this is exactly why they laughed. Krishna had promised them on the day he left Vrindavan that he would return. He had jumped off the chariot, he had met them in the forest, and he said, I just kill one or two demons and then I'm back. Krishna had further sent regular messengers from Mathura. I will return. It's just that some delay was there, some more demons came. I will return. Further, Krishna had sent his own trusted minister, Uddhava, with a message of consolation. Now Balaram came, his older brother, but he came without Krishna on his side. The side of Balaram, where Krishna would always stand. It's on this side, Krishna's right side, Rama stands on the left side. That right side of Balaram was empty as the universe is empty in the higher regions. And the gopis thought, most probably again a messenger comes from Krishna. It is so ridiculous and funny how our beloved deals with us. He always sends people, I will just now return. And he does not return. So they, in their pain turned into a symptom of ecstatic love, and they started to laugh uncontrollably. It is a love and separation. Then they thought very deeply about Krishna's welfare. They thought, Krishna has now left us simple village girls, and he's together with the women of the high society at Dwaraka. We have heard he has built palaces for 16,000 of his wives. A man who can build so many wonderful palaces must surely be happy. What can we offer him in our village? So they asked Balaram, is Krishna enjoying Dwaraka? Balaram stood before the gopis like this pillar. This pillar, I have observed it very carefully, has not moved since we started this discussion. So Balaram also did not move. He just stood there, transfixed by the love of the gopis. Then they asked, tell us, Balaram, is Krishna sometimes remembering us? This was because you must know the gopis are always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. 24 hours a day, there is nothing in their mind except for Krishna. They are so absorbed in Krishna, my dear devotees, that they can actually not do the household activities. We sometimes have this in our Gora Bhavan. We are developing these retreats and books, and sometimes I have to go in the kitchen and wash my plate. And I mean, normally the devotees do it, but often they are so engaged. And I one time was standing for half an hour in the kitchen until Sharanga Thakur came and saw me with a plate in the hand and said, I do it for you. You do your developing your Vedic way. You know, you, because I was so absorbed in the Vedic way, I couldn't wash my plates. So in the same way, the gopis are so absorbed in Krishna that they just cannot do anything else. Then you might justifiably ask, then how is everything done? How are the children dressed in the morning? How are the household chores done? Here's a secret. Someone who thinks of Krishna so deeply, Krishna carries to them what they need and maintains what they have. In other words, by his achintya shakti, the things are becoming possible which the devotee cannot do himself. So Krishna, in a way, by his energy, arranged for the washing of the plates and everything else in the household of the gopis. You might ask justifiably, now the gopis think of Krishna, but I'm not accustomed to think of Krishna. Could you please tell us what exactly the gopis thought of Krishna? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the gopis were like someone who was pierced by 5 arrows in the forest. When you are shot with an arrow or with 5 arrows, you think constantly of the arrows which are sticking in your muscles and in your bones. So the gopi thought of 5 aspects of Krishna who were just like arrows, and they could not forget them. It's like you couldn't forget an arrow when we shoot, for instance, in your the first arrow, they thought about Krishna's sweet smiles. Prabhupada has informed us that the best meditation is to meditate about Krishna's smile, which opens and later becomes a laughter, so that the devotee can see the tooth of Krishna, the sparkling pearl-like tooth of Krishna. Then the gopi thought about the sweet words of Krishna, which Krishna had told them after the rasa dance, when he walked with them through the forest and talked very sweetly about various aspects of the beauty of Vrindavan's forest, like the moon, and how the moonlight danced on the leaves and gave a very nice shimmering color. The gopis thought of Krishna's enticing glances. Enticing glance means Krishna called them with his eyes and gave them many messages. Krishna actually speaks through his glances. He speaks most expertly through his glances. Then the gopi thought of how Krishna walked. Do you know how Krishna walks?
Elephant.
Yes, like an elephant. Have you seen an elephant walking? It's extremely slow, yet very powerful, unstoppable. you can see an elephant walking. For instance, in near Gokula, there are many elephants. And then the gopis thought about something very special. They thought about an aspect of their association with Krishna which made them forget everything else. They thought about a fortune which not even Lakshmi had received from the Lord, and that is his sweet embraces. So these things were constantly occupying the mind of the gopis.
Krishna's sweet smiles, his sweet talks, his enticing glances, his graceful gait, and his loving embraces.
And this same Krishna Chandra, who had pierced the heart of the gopis with these five arrows, had disappeared from them. When they were asking, we think constantly of Krishna, but does Krishna remember us? They started to cry, and just hear what the crying of the gopis was like.
And what it did to Balaram. When Balaram saw the condition of the gopis, compassionate Balaram became stunned like an immovable Adriatic pillar. Tears streamed from his reddened eyes, and for a moment he stood there completely bewildered what to do next.
Finally, Balaram spoke helplessly. I request you, very much beautiful. I request you,
please don't burn my heart with the tall flames of the fire
burning in your hearts. You must know that devotees, even in relatively modern times, have been reported when they feel separation from Krishna that their breath becomes hot. For instance, Rupa Goswami, in the later days of his life, when he composed Utkalika Valari, which is the best prayer, you must read that book, he was reported by others that when they came near to Rupa Goswami, his breath was intolerably hot, because he felt so separated from Krishna, and the fire of separation somehow burned in his throat and in his breath. So Balaram said, please don't burn me, don't make me separation, don't burn me. Please know that Krishna is so controlled by your love that he has broken ordinary convention. He has asked me, his superior elder brother, to come here with a message for you. Is that not proof enough? Balaram called the mothers. My dear mothers, he said to the gopis. He offered them praise. You are the best of Krishna's devotees. Don't be so distraught with pain. And then he talked about various disturbances by the demoniac armies of the world, which Krishna had to raise out with his Sudarshan Chakra. Do you know how Krishna fought? He first sent his Sudarshan Chakra in a It made a burning trace as if a fire would break out in the wood of the armies, and then Krishna would come on his chariot and just go into that area and then shoot from his chariot arrows with his Sharinga bow left and right. He's so engaged you can't believe it, but he's speeding up. And finally, Balaram, seeing that he could not stop the gopis from crying, used his ultimate weapon. He said, all gopis. And I will tell Krishna that you cried and did not stop crying. Krishna, who loves you so much, will simply faint if he hears of your pain. And the gopis heard that their crying made an inconvenience to their beloved Krishna. They immediately stopped crying. I want to tell you a secret. The moment Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis had two shelters, and every day they visited these two shelters. I believe that these two shelters are also available to devotees of Krishna who feel separation from Krishna. Do you sometimes also feel separated from Krishna?
Yes.
Some of you nod their heads. Do you sometimes ask yourself the question, does Krishna see me? Does he at all care for me? I'm trying, but I'm failing. What is Krishna's role in all of this? Many times devotees have told me something which at first I could not follow, but later I also feel like this. Sometimes they feel abandoned by Krishna, that Krishna has given them up. But sometimes we feel also like this. Or we feel that I believe in Krishna, but somehow there's something in me which keeps me from Krishna, so that I cannot move forward properly. So the gopis had two shelters after Krishna had left them. One shelter is Mother Yashoda. Every evening they went to Mother Yashoda, and they talked with Yashoda Ma about Krishna. How Krishna would walk, how he smiled. And perhaps they also talked how in his earlier day Krishna had climbed through their windows and broken the chokot box and drunken the chokot. Came down. And the second shelter is something so sublime. It's the spurti of Krishna. And you will need to understand what is a spurti. A spurti is something which many of you have already had. A spurti is something which is a fleeting impression of Krishna. Let me give you an example for a spurti. A spurti is sometimes translated, because the translators can't write a whole page on what is a spurti, as a dream. But it's not a dream. A dream is a mental production which comes from your subconscious thing. A spurti is a momentary appearance of Krishna. And the example which has been given is that Krishna sometimes appears to his devotees and disappears, and it's like described to be like a flash of light in a dark night. It appears for a moment, everything is bright and clear, and then everything goes back to abject darkness. So some of the devotees in our movement have seen Krishna in this momentary vision. That somehow Krishna has appeared to them, maybe during a surgery when they were out, down and out, Krishna appeared to them. Or Krishna appeared to them at a very distressful phase of their life, when all of a sudden it seemed that the deities drank the fruit juice which the devotees had given to them. That Spurti is called a distant Spurti. They have not seen Krishna, but they have seen the effort. They said, this was Krishna. Have you already had such experience where you felt, this was Krishna? He saved me from a car accident. Do you have such experience? This is a very distant Spurti, but a closer Spurti verse where you would see in your consciousness for a moment. It happens especially during kirtan and chanting, that all of a sudden the devotees look at the deity and the deity goes, yes. It happened to Prahlad. When Hiranyakashipu came to Prahlad to kill him with a sword, then he asked, where is your God? Let him protect you now. As I kill you, your blood will ooze from your vein like a fountain. Then Prahlad looked in the pillar, and there he saw Govinda twinkling his eyes. I'm here and here looking at him. And then that same Govinda came up. That's the shivering. So the gopis had these two types of shelters in Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda, with whom she would talk, and occasionally some spurtis where the Lord would appear in their hearts. And I will read to you now a verse on this. You need to concentrate on this, and then we will sing, because then after the you need to prepare yourself, because then I will read to you Krishna's letter to the gopis as it was read by Balaram. So, my dear devotees, I think this is a very important verse now which you will hear, because it tells us what the appearance of Krishna consciousness does to a devotee who feels separated from Krishna. It's from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, and he says, gives us a picture. When a lamp receives oil, it again shines brightly. But without receiving oil, the lamp dims. When the gopis felt Krishna's affection, either when they talked about Krishna or when they received a manifestation of Krishna in their heart, they manifested great radiance and their bodies blossomed. But without Krishna's manifestations, without Krishna's manifestations, their bodies became thin and they looked like lamps which had died. Hare Krishna. This also happens to all of you. If while you learn to chant properly, you come to the level where you feel Krishna's presence, you will manifest radiance. But if you continue with your absent-minded, disconnected chanting, you will look like this. If you forget everything from this class, I hope you will remember this. We must have the oil of Krishna's presence in our heart, which is like a lamp. Without the oil in the lamp dies with the oil in the lamp. The lamp blossoms. So you will hear in a moment how the gopis reacted and what happened to them when Balaram took out this letter which Krishna had dictated.
But please think about this point and chant a little bit
and manifest some radiance.
Yeah. Krishna.
went after Balaram had said to the gopis, please compose yourself. If Krishna hears of your pain, he will simply fall unconsciously to the ground, and it is him who will suffer. And also, I have brought a letter for Krishna. When the gopis heard that Krishna had written a letter to them, they became very still, and they all moved very close to Balaram to hear that letter. So this letter actually was not handwritten by Krishna. Previously, Krishna had written a letter by hand to the gopis, but when he was writing, he was so moved that somehow he scribbled on the piece of paper, and it was very, very difficult to understand the reading. So he had asked Uddhava, who is a disciple of Brihaspati, most intelligent, to read that letter to the gopis. This time Krishna was perhaps more careful, and he called Uddhava immediately and said, I will dictate to you a letter, you write it, I don't want to write this letter. And the letter which Balaram had carried as something more important to him than his own heart had been handwritten by Uddhava, but it had been dictated from the lotus mouth of Krishna. It is very confidential, and it should not be revealed in public. So if there are some of us who have no faith in Krishna consciousness, you may just close your ears for a moment, please, and don't hear this letter, and I will give you a sign and you can open your ears again. Balaram started to read Krishna's letter. He was very emotional at hearing it. Krishna started his letters. My dear gopis, all the messages that I have sent you after leaving are full of promises that I will return. Perhaps you are wondering why I have not returned. I've sent this in the past Uddhava to you as my emissary, it's like messenger, to speak this message. Now I have similarly instructed and sent Balaram. Now Krishna was thinking, maybe the gopis think that he's a liar. If I make myself a liar, to hell with me. But how can I be a liar? How can I make the greatest gentleman Uddhava a liar? How can I make Balaram, who's famous as the greatest amongst the great, a liar? Dear gopis, my words that I return cannot be untrue. You do not know it, but I'm always residing close to you. I'm simultaneously present in two places, in Dwaraka and in Braj. If not, I ask you, how could these two places be perfect? Know that in my heart I'm most anxious to return. After quickly killing the remaining 7 or 8 enemies of the devotees, I will come to Braj in 7 or 8 days. When the gopis heard this message from their beloved Krishna, they felt relieved in their heart. But not completely relieved. The Bhagavatam explains the secret here. It says, Sankarshanastha Krishnasya Sandesha Hridayam Gamahe Sandvayam Asha Bhagavan Nananu Naya Kovida. Please listen to this. Maybe you can solve the secret. It is very difficult. The Bhagavatam says, the Supreme Lord Balaram, the attractor of all, Sankarsana, being expert at various kinds of conciliation. Conciliation means to make someone happy after they are unhappy. Consoled the gopis by relaying to them the confidential messages Krishna had sent to him. These messages deeply touched the gopis' hearts. My dear devotees, in this verse there are two secrets. One is, why does Shukadeva Goswami use the word Sankarsana? That means someone who pulls or attracts. And the other question is, why were the gopis completely consoled and touched deeply? This is a secret which the Bhagavatam leaves open, but Jiva Goswami explains it. He says, Balaram boldly explained, "Dear gopis, I'm not exclusively under Krishna's control, like Uddhava is. I will go to Dwaraka and bring Krishna here by force." Balaram said this because, just you please think about this deeply, because he understood the gopis had been together with Krishna. They had seen Krishna smiling. They had heard his sweet talks. They had seen the glances. They had seen Krishna's body. They had been embraced by Krishna. How could the gopis be satisfied with anything less than the personal presence of Krishna? So Balaram, when he spoke, and now you will hear something about the mysteries of Krishna consciousness, when he said, "I will bring Krishna," what he actually did is he attracted Krishna to appear in his own mind. And in this way, after bringing Krishna in his mind or heart, he showed them him to the gopis. Now, how this is possible is a very deep secret, and I have thought many weeks about it and was very desperate. How can he just bring him and then show him? And finally it became clear when I asked the question, why is Balaram white? He has a white color. A white color like the moon. The moon is like a silver disc. And do you know what it does? Constantly, except for now where it is coming close to Amavasya, Can we see the moon in the night? I think it is not possible at the moment. Maybe a little bit, but you will see the moon. What it does is, it's like a disc which catches the sunrise rays as it sets in the west. At that time, the moon goes up in the east. And it catches the sun rays, and it then puts the rays into the dark night and makes light. So in the same way, Balaram caught Krishna, and because he is white like the moon, he could reflect Krishna or bring Krishna to the hearts of the gopis. This is a very, very secret thing, and we want to celebrate this. We will hear the joyous drumming, which will explain a little bit the joy which the gopis felt. They were very distressed, but after receiving and seeing Krishna appearing from Balaram's heart, they became very joyous. So, as you hear this most expert joyous drumming, you should think about it. Lesson, my dear devotees. Baladev brought Krishna to the gopis, and they saw him smiling at them, talking to them, looking at them, and they felt completely happy. Baladev's expansion into this world is the Guru Tattva. When I was in Heidelberg, I heard a lecture from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and I wrote this down in my book. It explains a little bit how the spiritual master brings Krishna. Balaram has a plow in his hand, and Krishna has a flute. First, the cultivation is needed, karshana. Then all the nasty, weed-like things in the heart will be rooted out. This cultivation means the rules and regulations which you follow, and the sadhana, the spiritual practice. It will root out these nasty things. Your heart is like a field, Hridaya Kshetra. It should be cultivated properly with the plow of Balaram. Then it becomes fertile, and the seed of the devotional kriya, bhakti lata, may be sown. Only after proper cultivation by Balaram's plow, when the land is fertile, then the seed should be sown. When the seed sprouts and you develop prema bhakti, then you will be attracted by Krishna's flute. The flute represents akashana attraction. So kashana first, this is cultivation, and then akashana attraction. We heard that once someone asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this was the headmaster of the Thakur Bhakti Vinod Institute. I said it wrongly this morning. So many devotees have given up everything. They stay in the temple. They engage in services, but they seem to not make any advancement. Why? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had spoken of the need of cultivation. They said, these devotees have internal wrongs, material desires. They are taking food but are not getting nourishment because of their wrongs. They are engaging in devotional service, but the advancement is eaten by material desires and secret bad behavior. So they become weak. So this is a very deep, deep subject matter. Balaram was sent by Krishna. Krishna knew he had to come without coming. So he sent this letter through Balaram. And as Balaram was reading this, Balaram attracted the Lord and showed the Lord to the devotees. Prabhupada has, when he was amongst us, said that Krishna's message or letter to all of us is there. It's the Bhagavad Gita. Just like Krishna had spoken the message and Uddhava had written it down. Huh? Also, Krishna spoke the message to all conditioned souls who are bewildered at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's his message. And anyone who cares to hear this Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is from proper sources, will see also that Krishna, by his vani, his message, will come to the devotees. Prabhupada said, this is Prabhupada's own words in the concluding words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is a little bit our program. We are here relishing the messages of Krishna to us. We are wanting to contact Krishna so much, and we will conclude this evening by this wonderful, by singing kirtan together. This is part of the evening program. It's not, oh yes, now we will sing, let's go to sleep and eat. No, it's part of the retreat. You have to engage in kirtan in the association of devotees, so that the heart is purified. It's very important for you.
Sri Krishna Balarama ki
Hare Krishna.